That song reminds me of Anthony Petty, AP. Anthony and Sandy, his wife, they're in Aruba, that's where Sandy's actually from. I can't wait to be able to share more and more about how God is just working in their lives out there. We don't necessarily have one of our kind of sister churches in Aruba, but they've been connecting with some people who are in a church out there, and some really cool things are happening. So can't wait to talk more about that in the future. But you know, this morning, kind of like Nick and Bree, this past Sunday, I was in one of our sister churches. I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and I got a chance to worship with them. The reason why I was there is because the Caribbean Mission Society, our church here, the North River Church, we support a mission society in Africa, mission society in Europe, and also the Caribbean. And I am on the board of the Caribbean Mission Society, so we have once a year we meet in person. So this was the in-person meeting in Charleston, because Charleston, the church there, has started to really support the Caribbean Mission Society. So it was really encouraging. And so those are some pictures of the church there in Charleston. Really great time. And, you know, because here in North River, we have said since day one, our mission efforts, we're not about just kind of writing a check, sending the money off. We're about relationships and connectivity and heart to heart, people to people. And I've been, then they asked me to be part of the strategic team on the Caribbean. So now I go to these meetings that are before the board meeting, and we don't just talk about finances and all that, which is what boards need to do, but we talk about each church and how they're doing and what's going on and how can we be helpful and how do we help them with not just financial resources, but human resources, hearts. And so I was invited to be a part of those meetings. So I'm very encouraged by that. And when you go to these types of meetings, you hear all kinds of stuff that's going on all over. And I wanted to share a little bit about what's happening in Haiti. Because I know in our country, we don't necessarily have like natural ties to Haiti. Okay, I get it. I know what's happening with Israel and what's happening in Gaza. That definitely takes up a lot of our news feed. Also, Ukraine, Russia, I get it. That definitely takes up a lot of our news feed. But some folks don't even know what's going on in Haiti. But it's been a challenge for a while. Haiti, just so you know, Port-au-Prince, the capital city there, they've been overrun by gangs. I mean, gangs are running the city, taking over. In fact, found out that there's a brother in our church in Orlando. He's a brother now, but he had to flee Haiti because the gang came to him in his home and said, "We're going to give you 3 days, but we're going to take your house." And so he had to go and ended up in Orlando. And one of the members of our church met him at like a grocery store. They started having a conversation. He became a Christian. But he left Haiti because they took his house. You and I, we don't even fathom. Somebody came up to your house and said, "I'm going to take your house in 3 days." You'd be like, "All right, cool, close the door. 911, hey, you need this dude out here, crazy." Right? So that's what's happening. Gang violence taking over. It's intense. So the picture you see of the man there in the top left, just so you know, and I guess Mark Ottenweller might be in the Pacesetter service, but there was a huge earthquake in Haiti. I think 2010, massive earthquake, crazy humanitarian crisis. I mean, infrastructure just devastated. And so Hope Worldwide, one of the organizations that, you know, we support, they went in and did so many organizations trying to help rebuild, you know. One of the things that Hope did was build an orphanage out there and really support an orphanage out in Haiti. That person there, He was a part of that orphanage as a young kid. His name is Julio. He was in the orphanage, grew up, and actually became a disciple of Jesus. Became our brother, right? Started going to church, got older and older, led part of the singles ministry. in the church. Amen. There we go. And he was a taxi driver. That was his job. However, when the gang started coming to his town, he kind of jumped into action and started ferrying people out of his town with his taxi. He was just getting people out, getting them to safety. And some of the gang members found out about it and broke into his house in the middle of the night and took him. And they gave him a choice because, see, the gangs have a way of increasing their ranks, their numbers. They give people a choice. And they gave him a choice. They said, hey, either you join us or you die. But they didn't realize that Julio had already made a choice to be a disciple of Jesus. And he wasn't going to take an AK-47 or some gun and go around kill people. That's not what he was going to do. And he told him he would not join. And so they killed him. They shot him and they burned his body. Our brother, happening in the world today. Jeff, that's heavy. That's a heavy story to start a sermon with. Yeah, I know. It's heavy. But life is heavy. And we're talking about the Psalms. That's what we've been talking about. Last week, Michael Burns shared one of the Psalms. I'm sharing one today. And we're talking about different types of Psalms. And today we're talking about Psalms of lament. And that's not a word we use a lot in our everyday vernacular, but lamenting, what is it? It's expression of grief, sorrow, regret, unhappiness, disillusionment, mourning, anger, complaints. That's what lamenting is. But the thing about biblical lament is that we do it to God. We express all of that, but to God. And I think we can all learn this and how to do this more to grow spiritually. So let's pray. Father, we are here just trying our best to just humble ourselves to what you want to do in these moments. Thank you for every song that has been sung. Thank you for things that the Shoffs shared. Thank you for Stephen, what he has shared. And we're just so grateful to be a part of this family where we can express things to one another that can hopefully build our faith. Lord, I pray we can learn how to lament. I pray that we can not just always act like things are great. God, we mourn our brother who his life was just snuffed out, completely unjust. And it makes us sad and angry and all kind of feelings. And we know there are brothers and sisters right now on the run, literally, in Haiti and in other countries in this world. What do we do with that, God? When we are here in our comfort, Lord, help us to be people that know how to express our heart to you. Please, please show us the way so we can mature, be more like Jesus, and offer the world an alternative to the way they treat each other. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just so you know, the Psalms of Lament, most that there are in the Psalms. Of all the categories of Psalms, the Psalms of Lament are the most. Because I don't know about you, but oftentimes there's a gap between life as we want it to be and expect it to be, especially as good Christians, and life as it really is. Life as we expect it to be and life as it really is. Sometimes there's that tension and that gap that those aren't aligning. And you start to wonder, well, what do I do with that? Because life is messy, and it's beautiful, and it's meaningful, but it's terrifying, and it's painful. So how do we exist in all this messiness and mystery? We have to learn how to cry towards God. And lamenting, hey, you don't have to be civilized. You don't have to have good grammar. You don't have to just be perfect. You just let out your emotions to God. You know, and it doesn't just have to happen in a psalm. I even love, you know, that story about Jacob wrestling with the angel. You know what I mean? That's kind of a type of lament when the angel's like, man, I'm about done. And you know, Jacob said, hey, man, I ain't letting you go until I get my blessing. You know, sometimes you go, how you gonna talk like that? It's a demanding type of talk. It's like Isaiah 64. If only you would tear apart the heaven and come down. Come on, God, do something. Act. That sometimes we just need that language sometimes. Sometimes we just try to, well, I'm supposed to be a good disciple. I guess I just need to just, you know, be joyful always. That's in the Bible. Yeah, that's a misuse of that scripture, in my opinion. Jeff, of all the topics we could be talking about, why are you talking about the Psalms? We just need to talk about repent and get baptized and all that stuff. Well, amen. But just so you know, we're thinking that we're trying to be more like Jesus, to be transformed into his likeness. And if you don't know how to express yourself to God, then you're not being like Jesus. Lamenting is the language we all have to learn, or we will not mature and we will not become like Jesus. You remember Ryan Brown offered a communion a few months ago talking about this passage. Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And some misinterpret that like, you know, Jesus just is only angry at God and they don't realize he's quoting a psalm. He's quoting a psalm. He's using the language of scripture to say, even in the moment of distress, my most acute pain that I've ever experienced, I'm still cognizant of your word, God. And even though I do have feelings that are closer to feeling forsaken, I haven't given up. Because I'm still talking to you. I'm keeping the conversation going. And he uses a psalm that really ends in a triumphant way. It's literally like him saying, yeah, I'm hurting, but I haven't quit yet. That's a message we all need to learn. A couple weeks ago, we had a guest speaker come and teach us just about how to grow and mature spiritually. And we had a lot of open sharing. And I remember one gentleman, he was seated over here and he had lost his father. And he shared just how he was so grief-stricken that he couldn't pray. He was too just grief-stricken. And he said, I would just open up the Psalms and just read the Psalm and pray it to God. That's what this is about. We need to learn that spiritual reflex so that we can be more like Jesus in our lives. We're going to look at one psalm today. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you continue to ignore me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy gloat over me? Look at me. Answer me. Oh, Lord, my God, revive me or else I'll die. Then my enemy will say, I've defeated him. Then my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trust in your faithfulness. I rejoice because of your deliverance. I will sing the Lord's praise. For he has been good to me. Six little verses we'll look at today. I'm trying to equip you, give you a roadmap, give you something that when life as it is confronts you real strong, and messes up your life as you want it to be. And the first thing to remember, fancy word, yeah, invocation, who are you crying out to? Just remember, you're crying out to someone who cares for you. You are crying out to God. That's what lamenting assumes, you know? This is to God. How long will you ignore me? It's his direct line. Because if you don't take it to God, you'll end up taking it out on somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't learn how to take it to God, you're going to end up taking it out on somebody else. Because we all have options when things, the way the world is, isn't the way we want it to be. We all have options. We don't have to take it to God. You can leave God out of the equation altogether. And some of y'all are good at it because all you do is post stuff online. You don't run it by God first. You don't have to take stuff to God. You can just post it and then wait for everybody to like what you said and to reinforce your anger and your dissatisfaction. No, this is when you do it to God. You know what, God? I'm not feeling like you're ignoring me. When you see Lord capitalized, all capital letters, just so you know, that's kind of the word Yahweh. That's the relationship with God word. That's the covenant word for God. That's not just a typical word like Elohim or just a God. No, this is Yahweh. This is the one who Moses, hey, who are you? Yahweh. I am who I am. That is who he's speaking to. God, you have covenanted with me. I'm not feeling it though. But it's, you know, it's then later in the psalm, he says, my Lord. You know, it's like, and this is my God. I feel a connection. And we're not, when you cry out, you're not crying out to the abyss. You're not crying just to your ceiling. And no, we're not agnostic. No, there's a higher power. No, Yahweh, Father God, loving God, God who's in relationship, God who has bound himself to us, even though we're jacked up and we keep messing up, but he still won't let us go. That's who we cry out to. Even when we don't understand it, and even when we're disappointed and we're crying out for help. So please remember, you do have a choice with your emotions. You don't have to take it to God, but I'm telling you, you gotta learn how to do it. And you might say, Jeff, this is rude. Why in the world would you say, God, you're ignoring me? That is rude. Told you. Lamenting is about being raw and honest. And here's the deal. God can handle it. He can handle it. This scripture didn't slide into the Bible when somebody wasn't looking. This is authorized to be in there. Okay? It's okay. Take it to God. Don't take it out on somebody else. The next part is, you know what? You got to name what's wrong. You got to express it. The Bible says you shouldn't do anything without grumbling. Stop twisting scriptures and putting the Bible against itself. This is authorized complaining. Because you're doing it to God. Right? You're doing it to God, and he can handle it. Some of y'all need to learn how to slow down and feel what you're feeling. Some of us act like having emotions make you a less than disciple. You know? We got that stoic stuff that has still resonated through our culture. You know? The stoicism, right? The lack of passion shows that one is really wise and truly spiritual. We laugh. That is a serious approach. You know, the high church, no emotion shared. Everybody still, no movement, no, because that's rude. If you just let your passions go, you're unspiritual. There are people that really feel that way. Hey, some of us need to learn how to deal with our emotions. Hey, man, I grew up an only child and a single mom who worked multiple jobs. And I'm an introvert. Right? I was alone a lot. I didn't have nobody to deal with. I get mad at, who am I talking to? Ain't nobody there. I had a key to my house. I make my own food, do my laundry at 12 years old. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Make my hamburger helper. He said, and I'm not saying my mom's a bad mom. She's working to take care of me. I had two hands. I know what I can do what I got to do. But I ain't had nobody there sometimes. I played sports, but sports don't often help you with your emotions either. You can't show your emotions all the time. That's a 15-yard penalty because I sometimes want to take somebody out. You got to keep that stuff down. And then if I got the ball in my hand, the game on the line, I can't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. What if I miss the shot? You can't act like that. You got to be, I got this, man. I got this thing. All kind of stuff going on inside. You be like, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm good. See, the problem is that transferred over into my life. And that don't work too good when you're married to a woman that got emotions all up over the place. Jeff, what are you feeling? I have absolutely no idea. That's not possible. You've got to be feeling something. I felt 17 things in the minute that I just said something to you. What are you feeling? I have no idea what I'm feeling. I don't think I'm feeling anything right now. I'm scared right now, though, because I don't know what's happening. We got to learn how to slow down and figure out what we're feeling, y'all. What is not named is not healed. Name it. Name it. What are you complaining about? Hey, how long, God? How long I gotta wait? That's a complaint right there. And literally in Hebrew, it's like, until where? What does that say? Literally what it means, like, what? Or until when? Like, how long? How long? He keeps saying it over and over. How long? That's the complaint. This is going on too long. I'm losing my patience with this whole thing. God, how long? If you really love me, I mean, if you're supposed to consider me your child, how can you allow me to feel this pain over and over again and not intervene? I mean, what good parent would do this? How are you gonna ignore me? I mean, what kind of parent are you? I don't even see you. Where are you? I don't even feel your presence. The hiddenness of God, man, that's one of the deepest challenges in Scripture. The hiddenness of God. When God feels distant, our problem is we often retreat. When God feels distant, we often go into our own shell or again, lash out to the people we can see. What do you do when God feels distant? Again, our usual reflex is not always healthy. But the hiddenness of God, it helps us mature. It can strengthen our faith. We know God is with us, and we intellectually know that. Where can we go from God's presence? Nowhere. Everything is His. But man, sometimes, how long are you gonna let me feel this way? How long are you gonna let my enemies just run rampant over me? This ain't right, God. And lament is when you feel God's silence deeply, yet you don't take it as abandonment, but an invitation to go deeper in your faith. How your faith gonna get stronger if it never tested? One of my friends wrote a paper. He was sharing about it in one of my classes. And I was like, oh, Brad, that's good stuff, bro. Hook a brother up. Send me your paper. So I'm going to quote my friend at seminary. Divine hiddenness serves as a transformative journey that strengthens the soul's dependence on God and cultivates deeper spiritual maturity. Don't think God has abandoned you. He's not going to abandon you. But sometimes he allows that feeling of hiddenness because he wants you to accept that invitation to go a little bit deeper so that you can mature. And the next time you run into some messed up moment, you know, life as it is, when it messes up your life as it should be, you don't retreat. You go, oh man, I got to go deeper. I got to go deeper. So you got to know what you're feeling. You got to know what you're asking for, right? What are you requesting? Man, this is, whew, hey, look at me. Answer me. Revive me. And the literal words are like, some of your translations might say something like, bring light to my eyes. And it's literally, you know how like when somebody's fading out, like their eyes are, they're kind of, you're on the brink of just, you're on the brink of being out. Like, bring the light back. You ever felt that spiritually? Like, man, I don't know how much longer I can. I think I'm about done. You know, revive me. You know, this is what he is asking for. And again, it's my God asking for God to remember the covenant. If you don't revive me, I'm going to die. My life depends on you coming through for me, God. It ain't going to be anybody else. You can't get it from Amazon. You can type it in the chat GPT all you want. But only some stuff you can get from God. You can only get it from God. See, permission to acknowledge our anger before God is not license to act on our anger against other people, right? Because he was talking about his enemies. He didn't want his enemies to gloat over him. Leave the enemies to God. Because you don't know what you're doing. We'll try to take them out. No. Acknowledge your feelings to God. He'll handle the enemies. And the last part is to trust. The choice. You don't have to. The choice. To trust anyway. Why do I say anyway? Because when you read the psalm, at what point in the psalm has anything really changed? I mean, I don't see anything. I don't see, oh, now I see you, God. I feel your presence. Thank you so much for answering me. That's not in here. Ain't nowhere in here. The situation hasn't changed. Ain't not one thing changed about the situation. Still hurting, still feeling it. The enemy still exists. Nowhere in here does it say, thank you for wiping the enemy out. The enemy is still there. And in these laments, whoo, it's so good when you get to the but or the yet. Even though things haven't necessarily changed, life as it is still life as it is. But you know what? I'm gonna choose to trust, to still put my allegiance in you, God. And I'm gonna trust your faithfulness. This is really about the character of God, who he is, how he's shown up in the past, that loyalty that God has. That hesed, he's not begrudgingly trying to help us out. That's not who God is. That's not his character. That's not who he is. He's faithful even when we blow it. And sometimes you just got to remember that and just trust it. Man, I don't feel him right now, but man, I done read enough stuff to know that, man, when people mess up right in front of God, he still keep up there with him. I rejoice because of your deliverance. What deliverance? What rescue has happened? It hasn't happened. So you have to trust in God's character in the midst of the chaos. Trust God's character in the midst of the chaos. I mean, he goes, I will sing the Lord's praise. I am not singing. It's not present tense. I will sing. I mean, it's being honest. I ain't there yet. But I will. I will. I will sing. Man, life as it really is not awesome, but you know what? I'm going to sing the Lord's praise because, man, he really has been good to me. He has been good to us. We all can tell stories about how God has been there for for us. But you know, sometimes we need tough times, guys. It helps our faith grow. I ran across this quote, an author that I read a book of his years ago, Nicholas, I think Wasserstorff is how you pronounce it. I could say it wrong, but he lost his son at 25 years old. His son was 25 and died. And he wrote a book about it. It's called Lament for a Son. And he had just a quote in there that I thought, man, that's so true. As much as we run from pain and we hate life as it really is, and we hear stories about people getting snuffed out, we see injustice, we see pain, we see famine, why, God? And we hurt and we, what is the point? What is going on? And sometimes you go through these tough times, but we don't realize that it's, man, if you just hold on, if you just don't quit. And he said, I shall look at the world through tears, and perhaps I shall see things that dry-eyed I could not see. You know, sometimes the tough times are going to come, and life as it really is going to slap you right across your face. And you'll have a choice. You can run away. You can get mad at God and tell him, I'm done, and then go off and just talk to your friends and do whatever you do. Or when you receive that slap in the face from life as it really is, you feel that pain and you get mad and you get angry and you get sorrowful and you take it straight to God and you tell him everything that you feel. And through those tears, sometimes maybe some wisdom will come your way. Because let me tell you, there's a book of the Bible called Lamentations. Whole book of the Bible. And you know what the most interesting thing about that book is? It's kind of like Esther. You know, that's a book of the Bible where God's name is not mentioned. You go, oh, that's interesting. What an interesting factoid. The book of Lamentations, Jeremiah. You want to know what's interesting in that book? You don't hear from God. All you hear about is Jeremiah's anger, sorrow, mourning. God doesn't answer. At least in Job. I mean, Job got like 30-something chapters where he's upset. But at least at the end, God says something. Now, you might go, what the heck does the Leviathan have to do with my man Job? Did God really answer? But at least he said something. Lamentations. God is silent. Whole book of the Bible. Somebody pouring out their despair to God. It's authorized. It's okay. It's healthy. As long as we do it to God, trusting in his character, that he's faithful. He's just drawing you deeper into more faith. Come on. Stop running away. Come closer. I know you're disappointed. Don't leave me. I'm still here. I'm not going nowhere, even if it feels like I'm not here. May we all mature. May we all find the wisdom that only comes through tear-filled eyes. Let's pray. We're going to pray for the Lord's Supper and then just kind of give it a minute of silence. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Just to kind of just sit in it, whatever you may be sitting in right now, you know? And if you're visiting with us, I hope you feel like this is a place you can come and just share your heart and not feel condemnation, but feel compassion. Let's pray. Lord, just pray that we can take a moment and remember your faithfulness. We remember Jesus right now. We remember him as he hung on the cross. He remembered who you really, really are, God, and you are a father who never leaves us, even though it feels challenging at times. We're going to take this bread into our bodies, and we do believe that's the body of Jesus. We'll take this drink, his blood that unites us with each other, that proclamation that we share with each other as your children. And we take it into our bodies, and we know that one day Jesus will come back, and the time for lamenting will be over. But until then, we shall face life as it is with our eyes on you, even if they're filled with tears, because we do believe and trust that you haven't left us and you will come back to make it right. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.